The following worship service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan on Sunday, October 23rd, 2016.
Church. It's good to see you on this fall Sunday morning, for today truly is the day the Lord has made. May we rejoice and be glad in it. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, as we come before you today, we come with gratitude and thankfulness. Maybe we come with sorrows, trepidations, maybe uncertainties, maybe facing trials and tribulations or uncertainties. However we come to worship you. We thank you for your grace, your love, and your mercy. And truly, may we worship you now in spirit and in truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Christian soldiers marching as to war. reading this morning is from 2 Timothy chapter 4. The verses will be 1 through 8 and then 16 through 18. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message, be persistent whether the time is favorable or unfavorable, convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with the sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, always be sober, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, carry out your ministry fully. As for me, I am already being poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and save me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of God for the people of God.
As we come to this Sunday's last, really, series in this letter of Paul to his beloved son Timothy, we come down to sort of the end of things for Paul. If you read the commentaries on this passage, it says that Paul's looking back over 30 plus years of ministry. He's looking back, and to this young man, he is writing this letter. I don't think it takes much imagination to hear in this letter to Timothy Paul's love for him. And it's different writing a letter. We live in the age of text and bits and bytes and the day of the letter writing, and some people should be glad I don't write them a letter, for they'd have to have a course in Egyptian cryptology to understand and read my handwriting. How many of you have written somebody a letter? A note, a card? If you haven't, you should try it. It's not so novel. But I found the one thing as we've written, how many of you wrote those in school? Do you want to be my boyfriend? Do you want to be my girlfriend? Check yes, check no, maybe. You know, and how many of you have ever had one of those taken up by the teacher? You teachers, and then read out loud. That's the fun part. See, there's a cruel side to teachers, isn't there? There's just that mean slice that's in there. But we've written letters, and the thing about writing a letter is you sit down with pen and paper and you begin to write that out, and you've got somebody in mind. And you're focused. And you're thinking of them and your love for them and your grace, and you're thinking about your relationship with them. And you're thinking, and it's so real, that one of the greatest gifts that God has given us is that memory that is so real. And everything floods in to that memory. And I tell people there are three things that extend beyond the grave. One is your soul. Heaven or hell, it's going to spend eternity in one of the two. But the second thing is love. The grave, while the person may not be physically with us, that love isn't broken. And the third thing are memories. I told the Sunday school class this morning, I could never smell hemlock, the tree hemlock, that I don't remember my granny's Christmas tree. Hemlocks are horrible Christmas trees. They've got little spindly branches that droop with the slightest amount of weight. I'm talking about a 60s Christmas tree here. She put those huge glass balls on it. And those little limbs would just head south, you know. And my grandpa would get fishing twine, and he would tie, and it looked like it had spider webs in it from all the little fishing line things. And then she would stand back and throw the icicles on and say, "It is snowing, it is," she would sing. And I cannot smell hemlock that I don't remember Granny's Christmas tree. And her love for me and my love for her. And I bet right now something's going through your mind too, isn't it? And a memory is coming. Pick a good one. Not a bad one. Your choice. But writing that letter to Timothy, Paul's love is pouring out onto that parchment. Paul's heart, Paul is coming down to the end of it. The end is near for Paul. He's already faced his trial. He has been convicted. He has been sentenced to death. The only thing that waits for Paul now is how he is to die. And he waits. And it's in this time frame that this second letter gets written. And chapter 4 begins with something. That's why I increased the lectionary reading, because it's what we call in theological circles a bookend. Paul begins this thought in this part of the letter with this phrase, and it's important for us to see, "In the presence of God," verse 1, "and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of His appearing and His kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message." This is the Apostles' Creed, isn't it? "I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and His Son Jesus Christ, who comes to judge the living and the dead." Isn't that it? That's it, isn't it? That's it in essence. And then he says, "I solemnly, I beg you." This is an emotional begging. It's not sincerely. It's deeper. "I solemnly, with respect, and my heart goes, I urge you to proclaim the message. Be persistent. Don't give up on it. Stay at it. Be dedicated. Whether the time is favorable or unfavorable, whether it's good or bad, convince. Tell people about the reality of Jesus." Do you know how many people think this is a storybook? Do you realize how many people that you talk to in society today that don't realize Jesus was a historical figure recorded in history? You can read Josephus' History and Antiquity of the Jews and read about the acts of Jesus recorded there. Study Roman history and find out about this person they killed who was said to have done many miracles, and about the political background. Read Bill O'Reilly's book, Killing Jesus. It'll give you some more insight. He's a historical figure, folks. He didn't just for us religious Christians. He's real. Convince. Rebuke. Encourage. With utmost patience in teaching. For the time is coming. Listen to this. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Listen, not put up with. Folks, that means they will oppose it. That means they will not tolerate. They'll stamp it out. They'll push it aside. They'll hunt something else, Paul says. But having itching ears, people, have you noticed how much you have to pet people anymore? I see some of you nodding your head. They got to be stroked and pegged and handle them just right, you know, and all that stuff. I'm not good at that. I really am not. I don't like to tell people they've done good when they were doing what they should have been in the first place. I mean, holy, and folks, I'm sorry, but every kid shouldn't get a trophy. You know, they ain't going to get one when they go to work if they don't do a good day's work. They should be encouraged to do better. There should be mountains to climb and hurdles to obscure. They should be something to strive for. I'm sorry, I guess I'm old school, but I just think it's itching ears. But look what it says, having itching ears, they will accumulate. They'll bring in teachers to suit the fame and fortune gospel message out there. Leaves people who don't have fame and fortune, who suffer from disease and illness and chronic problems and pain. It leaves them out in the cold. It leaves them with nowhere to go. They tell you if you've got problems, that means you don't pray enough, you don't give enough, you haven't done enough of this. It's faith in grace in Jesus Christ. To suit their own desires, they will turn away from listening to the truth. Oh, wow. Have we made that yet? People would rather hear a lie than the truth today. Man, the truth offends people. I tell people the truth didn't used to be, it's more than inconvenient now. But it's truth. They don't want to hear it. They'd rather hear myths, lies. They'd rather hear how good they are. It's like this preacher. He got a phone call and this guy had died in the community. He was a horrible person. Horrible. Horrible. And the preacher knew it, and to be honest, most of the people in the community were glad he was dead. And his brother called him. I want you to preach my brother's funeral, and I will give the church a donation of $10,000 if you'll tell us what a good man he was. So the preacher thought, I'll do it, he said. So they brought the man in, and the preacher got up in the pulpit, and he said, this man was the sorriest human being alive. He was awful. He was a reprobate. He was a sinner of every kind. He was horrible. But compared to his brother, he was a saint. You got to be careful, don't you? You might get what you asked for. Truth. As for you, Timothy, always be sober. That don't mean Timothy was a drinker. It means to be aware. Keep your right mind. Stay away from the things of excess. Stay clear-minded, sober. Endure suffering. It's coming. How many of us know that already? Life is a bed of roses, but they've had thorns, right? Do the work of an evangelist. Carry out your ministry fully. Fully. I've noticed in our culture and society today, people halfway do most everything they do. They don't dot their I's, they don't cross their T's, and it drives me kind of a little crazy. But it's because it's those details, isn't it? So let's go to the heart of what I want to share with you today. I've got you there. Verse 6. Imagine Paul for just a minute, chained to a Roman guard, waiting for the paper that will instruct this guard as to the disposition of Paul. Paul doesn't want those who have been in ministry with him. You heard that in 16 through 18. Forgive them. Don't hold it against them. But Paul wants to comfort Timothy here too and encourage Timothy. And Paul writes these words. As for me, I am already being poured out as a libation, a drink offering. The ancient Jewish custom was to pour out this drink offering, and Jesus would later use the cup and the wine as a symbol of his sacrifice poured out for you. Drink from this, all of you, as often as you will in remembrance of me. Paul says, I'm being poured out. It's over. It can't be put back in. It's all sin. It's all spent. It's all gone. It's poured out. Paul will write earlier. He writes, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains but a single grain. But if it dies, it grows to be much. And the fruit of the life of Paul is half of the books of the New Testament are penned by him. He influences the growth of the Christian church. And here we are, 2016, Rock Springs, Wyoming, and Paul is still alive. Paul is still teaching. That gift that was poured out is still giving. We can be the same. What we do in love, what we do in compassion, will live beyond our years. It'll live beyond our time and space. It'll be carried on into the generations that follow. We'll be remembered by our love, by the libation, that sacrificial pouring out. And that's what Paul says, I have already been poured out. The time of my departure has come, not his death. Do you see that? Paul didn't fear death, for he knew that death was to be absent of the body, he will say, is to be present with the Lord. His departure from this work and toil into the presence of Christ, his departure is at hand. And I love what he says after that. I have fought the good fight. Paul was beaten, left for dead, shipwrecked, imprisoned, ran out of town. Folks, you wouldn't hire him if you looked at his resume. I mean, really honest and truly. This guy, I mean, he had blood on his feet at one point. Remember? He was at the stoning of Stephen when he was Saul of Tarsus. You wouldn't have wanted, his resume would really look bad. But here he is. I have fought the good fight. Number one, don't give up. Don't ever give up. With God on your side, don't ever give up. You may not have the strength to get through it, physically, mentally, emotionally. But Paul also wrote Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it doesn't matter what you face, because Paul also wrote Romans 8:28, I can do all things work together for good for those that love the Lord. You see, Paul lived it. Paul believed it. Paul taught it. Paul wrote it. And here at the end of it, Paul is sharing it. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith through it all, and it cost Paul all. When he became a Christian, the Jewish community shunned him. His family shunned him. And often, people, read the rest of Timothy, it talks a little bit more about that. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And now, look what he says to Timothy. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, that's how it started, remember? Jesus, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Do we long to see Jesus today? Do we long to know his sweet presence? Well, Pastor, that sounds like you're talking about dying. Anybody ready for that one? I haven't met anybody yet that was. I've done lots of funerals, and I've stood by the bedside of literally hundreds of people who have been dying and died. And none of them were in a hurry. You know, none of them were, you know, saying, give me the express boat here. That's just the way it is. But longing for it, folks, you don't have to long for death. You should long for his appearing present. For Jesus is alive today. He is resurrected from the grave. He isn't in a tomb. He has been resurrected. His appearing is his presence now. We call it his Shekinah glory, that glory of Christ present with us now. He doesn't say, I'll be with you later. He says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We should be loving his appearing in our life, in our trials, our joys, our celebrations, now, not just later. It shouldn't be a future tense. Who long for his appearance. He doesn't say for his appearing, his appearance, presence, present tense, Christ with us, in us, sharing in the world. It is Christ that allowed Paul to keep the faith. It is Christ that allowed Paul to write these words to encourage Timothy. I've done a good job. I've done all I could because of Christ Jesus. Do the same, Timothy. And when we read the history books, he did. Timothy went on to die a martyr of the faith as well, but to spread the ministry and the gospel in his lifetime. Are we able to join with Paul to say we have fought the good fight and we have kept the faith? You see, Paul had learned early he couldn't do it. But he learned that Christ through him could. And Paul poured it out. He didn't just tip it over a little. He poured it out. Folks, there's never been a time in history, and maybe I'm repeating what history has always said, because Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes, everything that's said will be said and has been said. Anyway, it'll confuse you. But maybe I am saying what's already been said. And I hope you'll kind of see what I'm saying to be true. There's never been a time when our societies, cultures, and the world needed the message of Jesus more than it does today. There is so much pain out there. There is so much hurt out there. Folks, there is so much hatred and anger. Road rage. Just look at that, for example. Folks, you don't know how blessed you are here to not have all that traffic. They pull over, shoot each other back east for road rage. Run into each other's cars. You know, I just worry, wish people go when the light turns green. You know? I've still got a little bit of that Eastern driving in Charlotte's 500,000 people traffic thing going on, but what about us? Folks, we have the message. It's a message of love and grace. And folks, if we don't get that message out there, if we don't tell people about the love and grace of Christ, it's going to go from bad to worse. We're going to vote in a few weeks. I'm going to get a little political stumping in here. If you think election's going to fix it, you are bad wrong. God's the only hope we got for it. Because if we're not God-centered, you're either for him or against him. That's the way the book reads. It's not Jim's words. Folks, we need to get our message out there. What is that message, Pastor? Christ alive, crucified and resurrected for our sins and the sins of the world, and the gift of the Holy Spirit to help us live into it and to love and to forgive and to heal. To be able to fulfill the words of the prophet Isaiah, to learn war no more. We've let the world stamp out our message and tell us it was inappropriate and we couldn't share it. We need to take it back. We need to put on that whole armor of God. And we need to tell them about Jesus. Whether it's comfortable or not. Whether it's popular or not, we need to tell them the truth. Jesus lived and died and rose again for all of us and for the forgiveness of all sins. All, not some. For Paul, the end was near, but it wasn't. Our gracious and loving God, would you hear our prayers this morning? Hear our prayers for each other, for ourselves, and for the world we find ourselves in, both locally and globally. Move within our hearts and the hearts of others, that we may know that we have fought the good fight, that we have kept the faith. May we know that. May we feel that. May we know that your appearance is now, not in the future. Hear our prayers. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going.
Go to know the King in us and sharing the kingdom of God in the world around us by love, through grace, and in the name of Jesus our Christ. And now may that peace of God that surpasses all understanding go with you, keep you, and bless you. May His countenance shine upon you. May His Holy Spirit fill you and empower you in service and love in your families and in your communities and the world around you. Now go in peace in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. If you would like more information about our church, please email us at rsfumc@hotmail.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. Audio copies of this message are also available online at www.rockspringsumc.org. Times for worship and other activities are also available on our website. Please feel free to share this CD with others, or if you need additional copies, contact us by phone or email.